So this year, I've been to 3 funerals and 2 more lined up for the next couple of weeks. And unfortunately, this is becoming more and more what seems to be taking place with funerals. Everybody I know seems to be going to funerals. And each of these 3 funerals that I've been to over the year have had totally different messages given in the service. The last funeral that I attended was for my uncle, and it was a non-religious funeral. The gentleman who led the service talked about my uncle and his life and how he will live on in our memories and the memories of their families. And I know it was a funeral, but even so, it was a sad affair because there was no hope for the future. Death was final, the end. The one prior to that was for a member of the Shattered Church of God. The minister gave an excellent service, given that the gathering of the people in the room, some of whom knew nothing about the church, most of whom were in one of the various shattered church bodies and church groups around the world. Some were ex-church members, or some that were still in our former association. There was a message of hope, of the future, of real life, when all those that have ever lived will be resurrected in their own order. The first one I went to this year was for Estelle's client, who had suffered from MS all her life, for the last 20 years of her life. And in that time, she had been in a wheelchair. There was a memorial about her life and how she is now free from this disabled body and is in heaven, looking down on us all. So the title for today's sermonette is there knowledge in the grave? So in the time I have available, I want to give you several scriptures that clearly show that you do not go to heaven when you die. So right at the beginning, don't need to turn there, but back in Genesis, Satan's first lie to mankind in Genesis 3 verse 4 was, "You will not surely die. You've got an immortal soul, don't you know?" And mankind, pretty much all religions, have believed some form of eternal soul. Hindus and the Buddhists believe in reincarnation, where your soul is reborn into a new life form. There's Valhalla for the Vikings. Taoism, which is achieving immortality through rituals and fundamental energy of life. Shintoism, where they become a sacred spirit who protect their descendants. And then there's Christianity, where you live for eternity in heaven if you've led a good life, or in hell if you've been bad. So please turn with me to John 3. John 3, I'm starting in verse 15. And just before we start reading, a couple of weeks ago, I was sent a link to a YouTube video. And this person in this YouTube video used this as the first scripture to prove heaven. And it's a key scripture that the Christian churches of this world use to prove that we go to heaven when we die. We just have to believe in Christ and we will receive eternal life. So, John 3, verse 15. "Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So verse 15, what it says was, whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. But the key teaching of the Christian churches is actually, if you don't believe in Christ, you still actually get eternal life, but you just have eternal life in hell. So there's one sort of flaw with their plan straight away. You also note that the very first word in verse 15, when I read it just now, I missed off, because the word is "that whoever believes." And this is used to link this verse to the preceding verses. It starts "that," so there must be a pre-part to the sentence. So let's jump up to verse 13. John 3, verse 13, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. No one has ascended to heaven except for Christ, who came down from heaven. King David, a man after God's own heart, did not rise up to heaven. You can cross-reference in your own time Acts 2 verse 29, where Peter says David is both dead and buried and in the tomb, and his tomb is with us today. So if he hasn't ascended to heaven, then how come the churches of this world teach that you and I go to heaven when we die? Clearly King David is dead and buried and in the grave. Christ also said in John twice elsewhere, where I go, you cannot come. But according to the churches of this world, when we die, those of us that aren't on the naughty list will be sitting on little white fluffy clouds, playing harps, looking into the face of God for all eternity. We will have knowledge of what we are doing. We will have wisdom, and we will have perpetual enjoyment. Those that are on the naughty list will be sent to hell for eternity, in pain and suffering, burning coals, fire and brimstone, looking at a little red man with a pitchfork and horns and a pointed tail. But how does that compare to what the Bible says will happen when we die? If you turn, please, to Ecclesiastes 9. Back in Ecclesiastes 9, this is written by the wisest man who ever lived, with the obvious exception of Christ himself. So Ecclesiastes 9, and in verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. When you die, according to the scripture, you have absolutely no knowledge of anything. Abraham, the father of the faithful, who was given the promises by God, isn't aware that his descendants are currently in a war in the Middle East. He wasn't sitting in heaven a few hundred years ago, aware that his descendants did actually control the sea gates of their enemies that were promised. He isn't aware that his descendants in America have fallen from being the most powerful nation ever to have lived. They no longer loan money to the foreigner, but they borrow from the foreigner instead, to the tune of countless trillions. Abraham is dead and buried, with absolutely no knowledge of those promises enacting out, and he has no knowledge of anything that has happened for the last 3,500 years. Every night when we go to bed, we sleep. We're oblivious to the passage of time. We close our eyes, then hopefully 6 or 8 hours later, for most of us, we wake up. During that time, we haven't been aware of what's going on around us. We haven't been doing anything. We have slept. And in 1 Corinthians 15, the scriptures compare sleeping to being similar to being dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. So fallen asleep, or as the King James Version says, slept, is Strong's number 2837, koimao. And that means to cause to sleep or put to sleep, to be still, calm or quiet, to fall asleep and to sleep, or to die. And in the context of this scripture, it obviously means to die. So if we just go back to verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have died. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all should be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards those that are at Christ at his coming. Those who have died in Christ currently sleep in the grave until Christ returns at his second coming in power and in glory to rightfully take the throne of this earth and to implement and enforce God's government on this planet. If you turn to Revelation 20, verse 4, we can just see that God's chosen people, those that believe in Christ, are not in heaven at the moment. Revelation 20, and in verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and for which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his forehead or on their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. In just over 1,000 years' time, every woman, man, child who has not been in the first resurrection are themselves resurrected into what will be a paradise. But it won't be a paradise in heaven, it will be a paradise on this earth. This world, after 1,000 years of God's government being enforced on this earth, will become the paradise that Christ referred to when he was on the cross. They can't be alive in heaven now, sitting in a cloud, playing a harp, or how could they be resurrected from being dead in the future? So in conclusion, the original lie by Satan to Eve, "You shall surely not die," has been swallowed by mankind down through the ages. Mankind does not have an immortal soul. The gift of God is eternal life. If I already have an immortal soul, then how can it be a gift from God? When we die, we sleep. We know nothing. There is no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave. Christ is the only one who has come down from heaven and the only one who has ascended back up to heaven. He qualified as King of Kings. He has overcome death. He is the first fruit of many yet to come. When he returns to this earth, he will resurrect those that are his, who are asleep, dead and buried here on this earth, 6 feet under, like David, his friend, and like Abraham, the father of the faithful, and all of his saints. At the end of that 1,000-year rule by the kingdom of heaven on this earth, this world will be that paradise, and as Christ said to the sinner on the cross next to him in Luke 23:43, "Assuredly I say to you today, comma, you will be in paradise." And the comma has to be here in this sentence and in this location, because there is no knowledge in the grave whence you go. Along with this sinner on the cross, all of those who have ever lived will at that time be resurrected into that paradise on this earth, and given the opportunity to be a child of God, which in my book is a darn sight better than sitting on a cloud playing a harp for all eternity.